But today, as Pastor Elliot just shared with us, we will be looking at Philippians 4, 10 through 13. I'll just be going literally line by line. In this passage, it contains one of the most quoted verses on shirts, posters, bumper stickers, cards, and just overall quoted on social media. But that doesn't come until verse 13. Now, if we look back at the context of the letter, Paul had a deep love and a deep gratitude for the Philippian church. On his second missionary journey, the Philippian church was the first church Paul started in Europe. And from that point, they have supported his missionary journeys, his travel plans, and Paul's ministry, which is essentially Jesus' ministry, for him to proclaim Christ and Christ crucified. Paul saw early on that the Philippian church, that their faith was real. It had resounded throughout the region, and that they loved Jesus and they reflected his holiness, which in that time was dangerous for their love to resound, for it to be well known. At that time, the Roman government, you had to worship the emperor. You had to worship the government. The one who was in charge could be Augustus or whoever the Caesar was. That's who you had to give your worship and honor to. But now Jesus is being worshiped. So you're in a conflicting standpoint between these different powers. So, and now everybody gets to know who these people are. Paul loves it. He sees the great work that they're doing. So let's just, again, look at Philippians 4, 10 through 13. He says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Now, when we look at verse 10, he says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. You were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. Here, Paul is acknowledging the gifts, the donations, the generous giving toward the Philippian church, toward his ministry. We are seeing when he says, you renewed your concern for me, that the Philippian church's offering is a reoccurring gift. They continually gave, they continually prayed, and they continually supported the ministry of Paul. They wanted to be a small part of the community, small part of the ministry of what Paul is doing. Yes, it's going to end up being more global as Paul travels around, but they were bought in. They were excited to see what Paul was doing. They saw the global effects, but they also saw the intimate effects that were happening right around them as their ministry was spreading right in that area. This time, they sent him gifts through a church leader in Philippi named Epaphroditus. And Epaphroditus was just a local church leader of the Philippian church. It's much like where many congregations, there's a board that is, there's many churches, but there's a board above many of them. So you can say like Paul's above that board, and then you have the pastors and leaders of those churches. And Epaphroditus can be one of those. He would get the letters of Paul. He would be the one to check in on Paul and kind of report back to the people. Not only are they giving toward the ministry of spreading the gospel of Jesus, they are also caring for Paul's well-being. As he said, they renew their concern for him. Now, I want to stop and mention that there was a split in the commentaries and in the research, because some will say that this renewed concern is talking about a renewed concern for his well-being, and that it is a renewed care for him because they know he is in prison again. But then the commentaries also say that he is thanking them for their gifts to him and the ministry. And I think that it can be seen in both ways. Although there is a difference, it can be seen in both ways, because the Philippian church has been, since they were the first church started in Europe, they were all in for Jesus right away. And at the same time, they have been caring for Paul. As a church, they are coming together for him. They have a concern for him. Here at Solid Rock, you give toward the ministry through your giving and what we are doing here. And at the same time, you have a deep love, care for Pastor Elliot and the leadership here as we do ministry. So there's a care aspect and there's a giving aspect, and it can be both. Then to put it all together, Paul greatly rejoices in the Lord for the gift of care and for their gifts of giving towards the ministry. The Philippian church acknowledges what he is doing, and they are going above and beyond for him as a person, as he is doing dangerous work in the Roman province by proclaiming the gospel. Like I said before, the government did not like what was happening. The attention was moving away from them and instead going to Jesus. This created persecution. This created even loss of jobs for Christians. This created opportunities for them to be attacked and even exiled out of the region. Then when we move into verse 11, Paul says, "I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances." Now, in order to move on, we have to define what it means to be content. Plainly, to be content is to be satisfied or happy. Wikipedia says that contentment is a state of being in which one is satisfied with their current life situation and the state of affairs in one's life as they presently are. If one is content, they are at inner peace with their situation and how the elements are in one's life. So we can pick two things from those definitions. When we are content, we are satisfied and happy. And two, when we are content, we have inner peace with our life and situation and the way things currently are. Now, when we turn that back to Paul in our passage, he says that he rejoices in verse 10 for the Philippians' care. And then in verse 11, he assures the people that he is content even while in prison. Why? Because he has learned to be content in every situation, in whatever circumstance. He has learned to have inner peace, happiness, satisfaction, even while in prison. Paul is saying, "Thank you for your care, but please don't be overly concerned, because I am okay. I am at peace. I am satisfied in the midst of the situation that I am in." Now, to our minds, this may sound just completely insane and unhuman-like, because who's satisfied in prison? Who's content? Who's glad? Who has peace? He's in prison, but yet at the same time at peace. Now, prison today, it's like a 5-star hotel compared to what it used to be. Paul's jail cell, it's in a cave-like structure. I wouldn't even say cave-like. I would say literally a cave where he is chained up and constantly monitored by Roman soldier guards. He's chained up on the ankles, the neck, usually like a wooden board covering him. and you always have two soldiers sitting right there, just like the last picture there. He did have the privilege of having guests, but at the same time, his physical condition was not enjoyable by any means at all. So again, he's chained up and saying, "I am content." But the most important point that I think cannot be missed, that cannot be forgotten about, is that he learned. "I have learned to be content." This is important because our bodies, our minds, our beings, we are not wired to be content. It is not a natural, it's not a natural thing to happen. We don't just be content. We don't just get contentment. It needs to be learned, just like Paul talked about. Contentment is part of the process that we have been talking about the past 2 weeks. When we talked about spiritual thinking, about having an eternal perspective, having positive thinking, and transforming our mind. Professor and Pastor Sinclair Ferguson of Ligonier Ministries says that contentment is commanded of us. But paradoxically, it is created in us, not done by us. It is a series of actions, but of a renewed and transformed character. Much to the same of what we've been talking about. It's transforming and renewing our mind. It's changing the negative thoughts. It's changing the complaints that we want to have, and instead turning it towards glorifying God, glorifying who He is, enjoying God even. So how do we learn to be content? Because again, Paul said he had to learn contentment. It's not natural. It is learned in both affliction and prosperity. As we set our hope continually on God, every morning we have to wake up and say, "God, I set my hope on you. God, I surrender to you. God, I look to you for guidance and clarity and direction." Each day is a new day. Each day is a new struggle. As Jesus said, don't worry about what is to come, but today brings its own worries. It is learned when we trust God no matter the circumstances, and it is learned when we surrender our will to His will. So just three quick ways we can learn contentment. Number one, learning contentment begins with our functional beliefs about God. This occurs when the truths we know about God shape how we interpret and respond to our present situation. As we open up the Word of God, we learn about God. We learn about the beliefs of God. We learn about how powerful, how strong, how mighty He is. And we form contentment through that because we know who we believe. We know who we are leaning on. Just by opening that Word, yes, we get peace, but we know where our hope and trust is in. Number two, and this is what we talked a lot about the past 2 weeks, is contentment is cultivated in an attitude of gratitude. When we have an attitude of gratitude, our focus becomes reoriented away from our selfish ways, selfish needs, and selfish desires, and instead on what God has done, is doing, and will be doing. When we thank God even for the little things, even on a hard day, "God, thank you. Thank you for this hard conversation I had because it's going to bring me closer to Christ. It's going to help me to love better." It's a great way, is just even at the end of every day, praying, "God, thank you for this day. Thank you for this, whatever it may be." Because in the end, no matter what it may be, it could and will shape you, mold you, and form you. Gratefulness and thankfulness, just they move our minds in a different perspective. And number three, contentment deepens as Christ continually becomes our treasure. Solid rock, when Christ is our treasure, when he is our cherished possession in our life circumstances, circumstances do not dictate the inner peace and inner satisfaction that we have. Again, when Christ is our treasure, our circumstances and our situations do not dictate our inner peace, our inner satisfaction. Paul has learned to be content because the treasure of Christ is enough for him, and Christ's saving grace is enough for him. Church, is it enough for you? Can you confidently say, when the world is falling apart, when everything is crashing down around me, Christ is enough. Christ is my treasure. I have peace. I have satisfaction because I got Christ. And that's so hard to say sometimes. It really is. In the midst of your busy life, in the present circumstances that you have you learned contentment? Have you found peace when it seems like it is hardest to find peace? Are you letting the situation of your life dictate your peace and focus? Or are you letting Christ, who lives inside of you, dictate the peace and focus? Yes, the present situation may be hard, but Christ lives inside of you. Are you turning to him? Are you letting your focus be on Christ instead? Paul can share this learned contentment because he is just as human as the rest of us. Just because he is an apostle, he still experienced trouble. And he is able to invite everyone else to do that also because he has experienced it. Then in verse 12, Paul shares why and how that he can be content in every circumstance. He says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in every situation, well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Paul knows because he has lived through joy, and he has lived through challenges. He can be content. Pastor Elliot brought this verse up near the beginning of the Philippians series, but it works here too. In 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 28, Paul talks about his past. He says, Are they servants of Christ? I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have constantly been on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, been in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger in the country, in danger in the sea, in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled, and I have gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and have gone often without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. What an ending there. I've been beaten and pelted with stones, but from all that, I still have a concern for the churches. His love for the people of God never stops and it never fades. Paul has been in prison more than anyone around at this time. He has been whipped and flogged, beaten with stones, wrecked at sea from being on a missionary journey, pelted with stones, always on the move, in danger from all different groups of people, and has been hungry and thirsty. Paul has quite literally seen it all. We also know that he once lived a very good and prosperous life, where he was a Pharisee. Now, the Pharisees, they got the places of honor. They got titles of prestige, a wardrobe of clothes that showed off superiority and was respected and listened to by the Roman government. And that was the thing during that time, as the Christians who believed in Christ, they were persecuted. But the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, they were respected by the Roman government authority. There was actually literally a law in place that said the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they are okay. We are not going to go after them. We are going to love them and respect them for what they are doing. But the Christians, free reign on whatever you want to do. And so at this time, Paul was respected. He was loved by the Roman Empire. In different moments in Paul's life, he had it all and he had nothing. And because he had it all and had nothing, he can say now that he has had contentment in and through all things, because his commitment, his contentment was not found in himself, but in Christ. Paul is able to learn and get to the point in his mind that no matter what is going on around him, he can be content because he has Christ and knows Christ. The power of Christ in him and the sufficiency of Christ, he knew, was greater than his own, and found inner peace through that. Which then leads us to the famous verse, verse 13. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. This verse is so famous that I think it's often misinterpreted. And I would even say it's abused sometimes because of its interpretation. As I said earlier, this verse is on tattoos, stickers, social media, shirts, shoes, Stephen Curry's shoes, cards. It's all over the place. Now, don't get me wrong. I think it's incredible that people are spreading the word through these different means and these different ways. But it is people's own interpretation of the verse that I think we are getting wrong. A while back, I used to play basketball at my gym for hours upon hours. And one day I played with a guy. He had a huge Philippians 13 tattoo on his forearm. And I asked, because I've had this thought in my head for a while. I've even met believers that, I mean, non-believers that have had this verse on them. But also, I said, hey, do you believe in Christ and what does this mean to you? He said, he can do all things, and mind you, we're playing basketball. And he said, I can do all things through Christ so I can make it to the NBA. I can go play professional ball and professional basketball. Okay. I met another person at the gym that has similar tattoo that he can bench press. So for those that don't go to the gym, you have the bar, weights on both sides, and you got to pull up the weight. I asked a similar question when I saw the tattoo. This time it was more on his side. And I asked, what does that mean to you? He says he can do all things through Christ who gives him strength. And because of that, he can bench press this crazy amount of weight. It's not how it goes. I've talked to someone else that has said they can run a marathon because they believe in Christ and they can do all things through him. Now, I don't share these stories to shame a misunderstanding or to shame people's encouragement by a verse. But there's a theme from these stories and from common themes that I hear, and it is self-reliance, self-sufficiency, and self-reliance, where our desires, our wants, our needs become, as I would say, a substitution for Christ's strength. And we make Christ's strength in that verse a byproduct of what it is we want to accomplish. And you can't use that verse, but I can do dot, dot, dot because Christ gives me strength, or I can do that, that, that because Christ gives me strength. Yes, God gives us the strength to do anything we're able to do, but many times we use this verse, again, to achieve things that are not possible for us, or and brings more attention to ourselves than on God. It is not I can run a marathon because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, but is I can face whatever circumstances I am in because it is Christ who gives me strength. And I can find peace in it and through it. Paul is able to say that he can do all things through Christ who gives him strength because of verse 11 and 12. Leading up to this, making this sermon, I always said, verse 11 and 12 basically preaches why he says verse 13. He can say, I can do all things because he has learned to be content, because he has gone through different circumstances of life. He has been in need and he has been in plenty. He has seen Christ's power in every situation and he is able to say, I can do all things. The strength of God lived and worked in him. Jesus said in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And this is the important part that connects to what we're saying. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Paul knew that apart from Christ, he can do nothing. Church, apart from Christ, we can't do anything. It's a miracle each day that we can wake up, open our eyes, get out of the bed and breathe. We can pray to God and say, thank you. Thank you for a new day. Thank you for this hope of life, this gift of life, the strength, God, thank you, that you give. In our lowest moments and in our highest moments, it is God's strength, power, grace, and might that enables us to get from point A to get to point B. It is not done through our own power. It is not done through our own will and through our own self-sufficiency, but it is only through Christ who gives us strength. When you abide in Christ and when you lean on him, you'll be able to endure every circumstance and every situation. So church, what are some practical ways that we can do this? Worship band, you can come on up as I am about to close. And just number one, let someone know that you are thankful for their care, as we saw from Paul in verse 10. This can be through a text, a call, or even a letter, if you still do that. Show them your appreciation. If someone has been important and meaningful to you, let them know. This is something that is just, it's huge for me. And just to know, hey, you do matter. Hey, you do mean something to me. I love to say it to people, and it means a lot when they say it to me. And it's not to pump up my own self, but just to show somebody you care goes a long way. Paul said he rejoiced in the Lord because of their care. Because he knows they care, he rejoiced. And I think all of us can rejoice in the Lord when somebody cares for us, when somebody deeply shows love for us and lets them know how just the little effects that they have in our life. Number two, learn to be content. Grow and work on gratitude. Be thankful. Read the Bible to know and learn the truths of God. Because it's by opening the Word of God that we can find peace and rest in every situation as we know God's promises. Three, continue to work on spiritual thinking as we talked about the past 2 weeks. Maybe take time to listen to those sermons again. How you can reorient your mind. How you can transform your mind. Renew your mind. Go from thinking about the negatives and change it to the positives. The false beliefs into the true beliefs of who God is. That is where contentment will start. And it is not a natural thing. It is developed and learned and grown over time. Number four, let your strength be found in God, not in your self. Strip away the pride of self-reliance and put on the power of Christ. Church, we have the most incredible treasure of knowing Christ. Not just knowing intellectually, but knowing to the deepest depths of our heart. That's what Paul longs for. He longs for people to know Christ deeply. So lean on him. Find peace that is only found in Christ. Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, God, thank you for this day that we can gather. But Lord, thank you, God, for your word and just the beautiful word of Philippians, God. God, thank you that we can learn to be content. Thank you, God, that we don't have to sit in the chaos, in the turmoil. God, we don't have to ruminate, but we can find peace in you. Everlasting hope, everlasting peace. God, help us to learn that. Help us to grow in that. Help us to take intentional steps each day, month, and year to learn contentment, to where we can get to the point and say, I can do all things through you, Lord, who gives me strength. God, thank you for the strength that you give. Thank you that because you live in us, we have the strength to get through each and every day. Lord, sometimes that's so hard for us in our present circumstances to declare that, to say that. But Lord, in the midst of those hard and difficult moments, Lord, move us closer, move us nearer toward you so that you will become and are our greatest treasure. God, we love you, Jesus. We thank you and we praise you, God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.